in Philippians chapter number 2. We're looking at verse number 25 down through verse number 30. And going to bring some things in tonight, the Lord willing, that the Lord's put in our heart. Paul said, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." If you'll pray with me just a moment, we'll see what the Lord will say to us here. Father, we love you and thank you for tonight for loving us. We pray, God, tonight for the camp meeting and for Brother Tony that will be preaching over at the camp meeting tonight. God, for the churches that will be gathered there, we pray, God, your richest blessings upon them. Lord, for our people that are sick, especially, Lord, Sister Teresa, God, I lift her up to you and pray, God, you'd strengthen her, give her her appetite, Lord, that she might eat and gain strength. And God, we pray that you'll just minister, Lord, the word of God tonight to our hearts and to our lives. I pray, God, for Brother Bob, that you'll continue to touch him, for my dad, Lord, that in the surgery tomorrow, God, that you'll touch him and help him. Lord, I just pray tonight that, Lord, as we look into your word, that you would make it real to us. And God, that you would strengthen us through the word of God this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We want to look here tonight at this man in the Bible, Epaphroditus. But I want to show you something tonight that became real to me this afternoon as I studied. Sometimes, I guess, at least for me, when I get to going in an expositional manner, I miss, how is it they make that saying, you miss the forest for the trees, or is it the other way around? You miss the trees for the forest, one way or the other. But anyway, here in chapter number 2, the whole theme, if you look at it in verse number 1 and 2, he said in verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." And there are actually, that I can pick up on with ease, four characters in chapter number 2. And I think we're gleaning tonight from the last character, Epaphroditus, but I believe there's something to be gleaned from all four of these characters, and that would be Christ, our Lord, Timothy, and then Paul. Or excuse me, in right order it would be Christ, and then Paul, and then Timothy, and then Epaphroditus. And Christ is presented in the early verses here about being humble and his selfless sacrifice, and he's considered here, when we look at his life, the cost of our salvation and how that he did not serve himself, but he served others. And that certainly is an example to be modeled by all believers. And then Paul presents himself in verse number 17. We talked about being poured out as a drink offering. And he presents himself that his whole life was devoted to denying himself. You could not study the life of the Apostle Paul and even begin to think that that man lived for himself. He never lived for himself. He always lived for others. And I guess what God is trying to help us to see tonight in the Word of God here is that I guess one of the keys to having that joy that Paul wants us to have and fulfilling that joy. And I think it was 1 John chapter number 1. I made a reference to it later in the Bible, in our lesson. But when John said, "These things I write unto you, that your joy may be full." And I tell you, I don't know how to express myself tonight, but I have had some seasons in my life where I was so full of joy that I could not contain myself. One preacher said years ago, he said, "It's real good when God squeezes your heart and it runs out your eyeballs." I couldn't hardly see how to mow the grass Monday evening, thinking about our people, thinking about things that they do to help others and selfless things and sacrificial things, and it blessed my heart deeply. And so Timothy is the next part of the illustration. He shows the necessity of developing a character which would serve others before self. And of course, if you want to get into Timothy's character, you can't get all of that here, but you can get enough that he's like-minded. He's just like Paul, amen. And I think there's something that I'll get into later, but it's just in my heart right now. Timothy and Epaphroditus, you know, Paul said, "I have no man like-minded." And you might say, well, how come he goes right out of talking about Timothy and starts to talk about Epaphroditus? And the thing there is they have two separate gifts and two different gifts. Timothy's a preacher. He's a young preacher. Amen. But in both the gifts, Christ is magnified. And the gifts that God gives the church are to magnify Him, not to magnify the gift. And by the way, if you'll study your Bible, the gift is never to magnify the Spirit. The Spirit of God gives the gift, and the gift and the Spirit of God together will magnify the Lord. Amen. Always they will do that. And so in this last illustration, we're looking here at Epaphroditus, his humility, his service, his character, and probably more important than anything else I want to see tonight is his sacrifice. The whole thrust of the chapter is unity with one another is only possible when our character and our sacrifice is in harmony with Christ and these other illustrations that he's given us in this chapter. Epaphroditus, just a couple of things. He was a member of the Philippian congregation. He's only mentioned two times that I know of in the Word of God. He may be referred to when we can't say dogmatically that it was him, but dogmatically we can say twice he's mentioned. Look over in chapter 4 of Philippians. And the Bible said in verse number 18, "But I have all," Paul said, "and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." I don't know what the love offering from the church at Philippi to the Apostle Paul in prison consisted of. I don't know if it involved money, if it involved clothing, if it involved literature, if it involved maybe some other necessities, food. I don't know what it involved or what it all entailed. But I know this, Epaphroditus was given the job of getting whatever they had sent to Paul from the church at Philippi to the missionary. And I know in studying that in this day and hour, it was a very dangerous task that he was actually laying his life on the line, being loaded down with whatever they were sending to the Apostle Paul. When you watch the Westerns, you know how they always like to rob the stagecoach
And in Bible days, there were many dangerous places and where there were people that wanted to rob and do much damage. So Paul is encouraging the Philippian brethren to live a life that has a character and sacrifice which would result in joy. And we see some examples here, and I've shared them with you, that Christ and Timothy, Paul, and Epaphroditus all give us in the Word of God. Unity with one another will become, I believe, it will become like second nature. It's actually supernatural. Amen. When everybody has got their eyes on the Lord and everybody's got their eyes on serving Him and not on ourselves. And so he was a member. He was mentioned here. He's an unsung hero. I mean, I don't know in my Christian experience of however many years that is since 1987, 87 to 07, be 20, I guess 28 years of being saved. I don't think that I can remember a time. Well, I know I can't remember a time, but I don't think I've ever heard a message on Epaphroditus. Amen. Have you, Brother Rose? You're shaking your head. Amen. And he's an unsung hero. I just want to say this tonight. I believe when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, there will be a lot of them. I don't believe it will be necessarily the big names. I don't believe necessarily it will even be the pastors of the churches. I believe God's got a remnant, amen, that love Him. And whether their name is mentioned or not, they want to serve Him with their life, amen. And I believe Epaphroditus is one of those. He sacrifices. Timothy shows us the character. Epaphroditus shows us the sacrifices that we need. And sometimes we fail to understand the importance of personal sacrifice that leads to joy. I mean, I think that goes back over, and I can't remember who it was now. Was it David? I'm not going to sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Was it David that said that? And sometimes we forget that. And joy, if you'll look, joy comes with a price tag. Amen. And Christianity is a religion. Listen to this now. And I want to use another word, a relationship, because there's a lot of religious people in the world. Christianity is actually a relationship. Think about this for just a minute. That's built upon sacrifice. Think about that for just a moment. Our Lord went to the cross and denied Himself and gave His life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And then He said to His disciples, He said, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. So the entire Christian experience is built upon sacrifice. I'll say some things about that. Listen to this illustration. I thought it was good. A wealthy man stood on a wharf watching a mammoth vessel in the harbor as she made ready to put out to sea. And a friend saw him, and after they exchanged greetings, he asked why he was at the wharf. He replied, this is what he said. He said, there's $10,000 worth of equipment that I'm sending to a hospital in China on that ship. There was silence for a moment. I too am sending a gift to China on that ship, said the friend. My only daughter is going to China to be a missionary. The wealthy man placed a gentle hand on his friend's shoulder and said, and I thought I had sacrificed. I'll tell you what's the truth. I believe we'd go to Calvary tonight, every one of us would say, and I thought I had sacrificed. Amen. Oh, what a price He paid for you and for me. And beloved, I believe God wants to speak to us through this man's life tonight. This world thinks that the demands of sacrifice are unreasonable. Am I right about that? But listen to what God said. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now listen to this, which is your reasonable service. The world might think it's unreasonable of you and I to give our lives to Christ. But I tell you, it's not unreasonable when you take it in light of the Scripture. And the Bible said then, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe tonight with all of my heart, God wants us to understand that. In light of Calvary, would it be possible? Let me ask you this. Would it be possible, Brother Ralph, tonight, in light of Calvary, would it be possible for our Lord to require anything of you or I that would be unreasonable? Would it be possible tonight? I say it'd be an impossibility for our Lord to require anything of us in the light of Calvary that would be an unreasonable request. Amen. Epaphroditus evidently thought that it was not unreasonable what Paul had asked him to do and what the church had asked him to do. We see joy in his daily life. Let's look at some of the phrases that describe him. In verse number 25, he said, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Now, let me just say this. First of all, we need to realize the sending has gone both ways. The church sent him to Paul, and Paul is sending him back to the church. There are going to be some tender things said in this passage of Scripture as far as the motive in Paul's heart and in Paul's life for sending him back. How many knows that it would have been, my friend, at least tempting for Paul to have said, would you stay here with me? Amen. Would you just spend a little time with me? Stay a little longer. Amen. But I tell you, that's not what happened. And I'll show you. He's called a brother. First of all, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. And I tell you something tonight. What a blessing. I said, what a blessing it is to be called a brother in Christ. Amen. My brother, he said. My brother. I tell you, if we would ever understand tonight when we get to church, it's a building full of brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's only made possible as a result of Calvary, as a result of the new birth. I believe tonight that would help. The brother, he becomes a brother. There's a sharing of an intimate association with others in the family. Then not only that, the Bible says he's a fellow worker or a companion in labor. I don't know about you tonight, but it's sometimes, I think, wonderful just to work together. Amen. Not just to be, associations, but be associated in the work of God. We come together I don't know exactly what the Lord's going to say to us about August, but I've got something brewing in my heart, and it came with this lesson. And when we come together in our visitation, and we pair up and we go out, and I have never been with a partner. Sometimes my wife is my partner. Amen. That's the only lady that'll be my partner, of course, but I've never been with a man in the church or been with my wife that while we were going to do the work of God, there was not absolute joy in my heart. Amen. Just being a fellow laborer, a fellow worker, a companion in the labor of God. And so he's called a fellow worker. The sacrifice must be made to allow us time to perform those things that would bring that great joy in our lives. Listen to me carefully tonight. I believe this. I really do. And if I'm not careful, I'll get caught in the same trap. I believe sometimes we are giving God leftovers instead of first fruits. I believe sometimes we're giving God, I will if. I will if I have time, or I will if there's nothing else going on. And I don't see that in the life of Epaphroditus. I don't see that in the life of Timothy. I don't see that in the life of Paul. I surely don't see that in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I see those first fruits. And then he says here, not only is he a brother and a companion in labor, but a fellow soldier. We're in a battle, aren't we? Amen. We're in a battle. I wonder tonight, how many men overseas have become close because they were in the same battle. They may have been one from the East Coast and one from the West Coast, but they laid down in a foxhole together and they fought together. And God made a union, amen, out of those. How many knows what I'm talking about, amen? And in the work of Christ, it's the same way. We're fighting in the same war. And we're soldiers. And it also applies to the Lord's army. And watch this. He's also called a minister. And he that ministered to my wants. I think that's good. The end of verse number 25 there. One who is concerned with serving others and not himself. You remember in verse 21, he's speaking of Timothy. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ or Jesus Christ, but you know the proof of him. So here in the Word of God, we don't only have the proof that Timothy is not self-serving, but neither is Epaphroditus. He's serving others. He's given his life to the service of others. Amen. Now, let's look here tonight. The Bible said in verse 26, for he longed after you all. He becomes a messenger. He and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. This, if you, there's only one way to get the message out of this. If you just, sometimes you have to read it over and over and over. But there's only one message being delivered right here, and that is that Epaphroditus is sad in his heart because back home they've heard that he got sick while he was doing. In other words, Epaphroditus didn't want their thoughts and their minds and their hearts tied up with his hardship. Amen. Is that right or is that wrong? That's all I can see in it. I've looked at it 100 times. Amen. And I believe tonight, he just was not in it for himself. The Bible said, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. He's a messenger, one with the message of Jesus. Over the years, there have been a separation for life, possessions given up, even lives lost in willful sacrifice to the spreading of the gospel message. Many missionaries just kind of went and broke the ice and really didn't get anywhere. Amen. And gave their life, but God sent somebody else in, amen, to reap wherein they had sown. And so sacrifice will cause one to see the need of telling the good news to others. Whenever we sacrifice ourselves and obey the Lord's command, we'll be experiencing a new relationship. I'll give you these things a little bit later, but let me just say these right now. It's rewarding. I believe that it'll bring great joy. The Bible talked about fullness of joy. And let's see. Jesus, what was it in John chapter 16? He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. Amen. And a lady said to me the other day, she said, I want you to pray for me. And I said, how do you want me to pray? We were in the fellowship hall and she said, I want you to pray that God will give me patience. I said, you sure you want me to pray like that? She said, why do you ask that question? I said, because the Bible said, tribulation worketh patience. She said, no, forget that prayer. She said, pray God will give me compassion. I said, I can do that. Amen. I can do that. But I tell you tonight, here in the Word of God, God is trying to help us through this mighty example that he's given us here. Of Epaphroditus, he sacrificed. Not only is it rewarding, and not only does it bring great joy, but let me just say this to you tonight. And right here's where a lot of people fall off. They fall off, whether intentional or unintentional, or conscious or subconscious. But a sacrifice will bring new responsibilities. As we deny ourselves, how many believes what Jesus said when he looked at the harvest and said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few? Can you see someone denying themselves, taking up their cross and following Jesus, and him not putting them in the service? Amen. The Bible said, to whom much is given. How many got a whole lot at Calvary? Much is required. And here's a man that had great joy in his life because he was willing to deny himself, go after the Lord, and take up his cross and follow him. One who faithfully lives in this new relationship will see our responsibilities increasing. I really don't know how to say this. But I guess I'll say it like this. In my own life, I would have to wonder about the will of God in my life, calling something the will of God that would be leading me to less responsibility. Does that make any sense? Making it easier on me. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? I just have to weigh that out. Because in my life, I can't say anything about yours, but this is what I've found out. If the flesh, it appeals to the flesh, God probably ain't in it. Amen. If it's something the flesh wants, God probably ain't in it. Amen. And so Epaphroditus was willing. We look at him here. He sees the responsibilities. He's going to Rome. He has a duty. He's going to take the gift. He did not sit idly by, but he acted with urgency. He did not merely contribute money, but he gave himself. I don't remember the illustration verbatim, but it went something like this. I believe it was an Indian. They were taking up an offering and he didn't have anything to give. And don't quote me on it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it'll get the point across. And anyway, they said he came down, took the plate off the table, put it on the floor, and stood in the plate. He said, I'll give myself. I'll just say this. It's easier to give our money than it is to give ourselves. Amen. It's easier to give our money than it is to give our children. It's easier to give our money than it is to give our grandchildren. I'm not against giving money. You understand what I'm saying. Amen. The Lord didn't want just Epaphroditus to give an offering, but he had to give himself that he might take that from the church and present it to the missionary. We're sometimes overloaded with spectators and don't have enough participants. I'm reminded, Brother Lance taught that lesson going into the valley with Goliath. And as he read over it, I was reminded, David comes down there, and Eliab says, I know your pride and I know the naughtiness of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. I just think that David's probably thinking something like this. I didn't come to watch. I come to win. Amen. Y'all done been down here 40 days watching him. Amen. I didn't come down here to spectate. I come down here to participate. Amen. And I believe that is why David had so much joy. It was the sacrifice involved, but it brought joy in his heart. We need to be aware that it is our personal duty to go. There's concern that we might help lighten others' burdens. He had a big heart, Epaphroditus did. He said, I longed for you all. He was overflowing with the care, the need to care for others. Amen. Living in this sacrifice will make us have a love like God's love. I believe we'll love the saints. I believe we'll love those who are suffering. I believe we'll love the lost. I believe we'll love the unlovable. Amen. When his love is alive and well in our hearts and in our life, what a wonderful attitude, and how it would help any church to keep unity in the church. When Paul said, here fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. There was a desire in the life of Epaphroditus to go beyond the expected demands. He strove to make up in the life of the Apostle Paul. He wanted to make up for what the Philippians were not able to do. He wanted to help him while he was there with him. He could not let Paul go it alone, but he was compelled to help him and get the job done. There was humility to do whatever needed to be done. No labor, no work was too menial or too small. I'm going to tell you, I love the song, Little is Much When God Is In It. If you'll read the book of Proverbs, it might just be a kind word. It may not be much at all, but when God is in it, it can make the difference, amen, in someone's life. And I believe that's what that Epaphroditus set out to do, and God used him to do that. I mentioned this a while ago, and I made a note as I was studying something Brother Brian told me a while back. And there's a difference here. You have the Savior, you have the Apostle Paul, you have Timothy, you have Epaphroditus. You have a difference. There's different gifts. There's different offices. But there's the same joy. There's the same goal. Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. Amen. Paul lived to please the Lord. Timothy lived to please the Lord. Epaphroditus lived to please the Lord. In that illustration, I think we were talking maybe, Brother Brian, about the youth retreat. And I was talking about going down there. And anyway, he said something. I might not get it right, but I think you said you teach 20 years old and up, or 21 and up, or is that close, Brother Brian, to what you said? He, in other words, he's saying, I know I don't belong. You don't have to worry about your class, Sister Francis. It's safe. Brother Brian won't never want your class. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I know where I fit. Amen. In other words, we don't all fit in the same place. But glory to God, we can all have the same joy. And we can all serve the same God. Amen. And we can all have the same goal in our life to please Him. What a blessing that is to my heart tonight. His service to Paul, it probably included tending to his meals. I studied this out and I didn't realize this, but in Bible days, prisons weren't like they are in our days. Most of the time, the man on the inside was dependent on somebody on the outside to care for his needs. Study it out. I mean, and the federal government makes sure they get, or the state government, depending on whether in a federal prison or a state prison, they get three meals a day. Amen. And I've heard a lot of belly aching about them meals. I always said the same thing to every inmate that ever belly ached to me. I said, there's people in this world that would love to have access to your dumpster, let alone what's on the table in here in the mess hall. They'd just like to be able to dive into the dumpster and get some of that that's been thrown away. Here he is, probably washing clothes and doing whatever the apostle needed. Yet he was doing the work of Christ. I was thinking as I rode the lawnmower the other evening. I spent the afternoon fixing the truck. And God was good in that. I took the camper home. Miss Eve packed it up, cleaned it up, packed it up. We took it to the youth retreat. We brought it back home. And she unpacked it. And then I brought it to the church, backed it in between the buildings, unhooked from it, pulled the truck up a little bit, turned it off. Went to eat breakfast with my wife and my daughter and my granddaughters. Came back, got in the truck, and didn't have any power steering. The idler pulley had melted off of the bearing. And you say, preacher, why were you weeping at the goodness of God? I was weeping because God took care of us there. I was weeping as I reminisced through the day how that our lady stood in the fellowship hall and served food to a family that's hearts was crushed in the homegoing of Mrs. Rossi, and just thanking God for people that love Him and want to serve Him. What an honor. What an honor. It doesn't matter whether it's ladies serving food or somebody washing sheets for the next person that comes in the prophet's chamber or cleaning the table or vacuuming. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's done for the Lord, it's the work of Christ. Amen. And it's important work. There was commitment. This work that Epaphroditus had in his life, he was committed to it. He could not give up. He had to carry it out. He sacrificed. He became a brother, a fellow worker, a soldier. He committed to Paul. And this was the work of Christ in his life. The Bible said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." In Romans 15, 1 and 2, "We then are that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Psalm 133 and verse 1, a verse that I love. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Many times, for the work's sake, it will bring about a unity. One who seeks joy must not only sacrifice, but he must be willing to accept and perform new responsibilities to others. He was active in the work. He went to Rome. He showed concern to lighten the burden of others. He was going beyond the normal expected demands. He handled even the lowest task with humility. And he showed great commitment to the fellow members of the church. Sacrifice results in blessings. Epaphroditus was a blessed man. He makes it clear that he was going to receive a reward. He is to be warmly welcomed, he tells them there. Watch this now. Verse 28, "I send him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful." You know, I believe they didn't have telegram in that day. You couldn't send a text message. Amen. Unless it was in a scroll and somebody carried it, if you wanted to call that a text message. And so the church at Philippi really doesn't even know whether Epaphroditus is still living or not. They've heard that he was sick. Somebody's told him. I wonder if somebody said he's almost dead. He's sick nigh unto death. How many thinks there was rejoicing at Philippi when he showed up? Amen. Of his own accord, he wasn't carried back. And Paul wanted that. He said, "I want him to be warmly welcome. I want him to be recognized and honored because of his labor." And by the way, the Bible said we ought to provoke one another unto good works. Is that right or is that wrong? That's what edification is building up and encouraging one another to serve the Lord. Epaphroditus was shown great appreciation and honor. And such reward will only come to those who have sacrificed for Christ. And many only at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this illustration, and I'll give you three little things and we're done. When Theodore Roosevelt was president of the United States, boy, this really speaks to my heart because y'all know how I like to hunt. I've never been to Africa. I've got my son's brother-in-law has been twice. And I don't think he ought to get to go again unless I get to go. Amen. Actually, I have no interest in going to Africa. That's the truth. I don't have any interest whatsoever. I would like to go out west one of these days, though. I would enjoy that. He was returning once from a big game hunt in Africa. Teddy Roosevelt was coming back from Africa, a big game hunt. And a missionary couple who have invested more than 40 years of their life in Africa, they traveled on the same ship. And a cheering crowd welcomed President Roosevelt and his entourage at the New York Harbor. The old missionary couple disembarked without anyone to greet them. And the wife of this missionary was heavy-hearted. And the husband said, "My dear wife, cheer up. This is not as yet our homecoming. A better day awaits us." I say for the children of God tonight, a better day awaits us. No one may notice down here, but I tell you, there's a God in heaven that takes good notes. I don't know if he does shorthand or not, but whatever it is he uses, it's very accurate. So accurate that the Bible said we're going to give an account of every word. Back to that lesson, Brother Rick. Every idle deed. Amen. And God, the record is so accurate. When I brushed my hair a while ago, if two fell out, God said minus two. If I go to sleep tonight and three grow back, God says plus three. He knows the very head. You say, "Preacher, you're crazy." No, I believe the Bible. I believe he is interested in every little facet of our life. And he's paying attention to our service to him. This here wraps it up. The sacrifice, like in the life of Epaphroditus, it'll bring new relationships. It'll bring new responsibilities. But let me say this. It will end in a wonderful reward. One day after a while, a reward. Hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What a blessing that would be. What a blessing that would be. I don't know about you. I don't know what the father said to the son when he got back home. Say amen right there. I know what he said to him down there when he was being baptized. He said, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased." I know what he said on the Mount of Transfiguration when they was all trying to figure out what we're going to build. He said, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." Hush, Peter. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Then tonight, think about Paul. Reckon he heard the Lord say, "Well done." Think about Timothy. You reckon he heard the Lord say, "Well done." Think about this man that his name is only mentioned twice in the entire Word of God. Reckon he heard him say, "Well done." I don't know about you. That's enough to keep me going till Sunday. Amen. Brother Brian mentions it often in his Sunday school lessons. He says you come in the midweek and just the Lord kind of like giving you a booster shot, I guess. They call it hump day out there in the world, amen. But I don't go a lot by what the world says because they call it Blue Monday. Amen. I tell you what, after meeting with God's people, my Monday's not blue. Some preachers get up and say they resign every Monday morning. Well, the Lord just go ahead and do it. Amen. We need to have some joy in serving the Lord. Amen. Need to have some joy. I'm going to pray, and then Brother Brian, you come and get the request. We'll gather in the altar and pray tonight. Brother Richard, you didn't turn that air conditioner down tonight, did you? Should I keep you or fire you? I'm going to keep you, brother. Amen. I tell you, I am burning up here. Amen. Praise the Lord. What it was, Brother Richard looked at me and he said, he needs to lose some weight. And I'm going to help my brother, amen, along the way. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the precious Bible. Thank you, God, for Epaphroditus. Lord, I can't hardly spell or say his name. But Lord, you put him right here in the pages of the Word of God for us to look at, for us to glean from. Lord, you said for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Lord, a lot of people die for a lot of reasons. Lord, the truth is, not too many people die for the work of Christ. I pray, Lord, you'd help us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.